Hello?
Hey, Steven.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What is this about?
Well, do you mind if I record a quick conversation to test out an app called Anchor that allows you to record conversations and make them into podcasts?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I meant to test out this auto podcasting feature over the weekend, and I was talking about podcasts with Celeste and thought, oh no, I didn't do it. So, happy 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, did you have a good time up in Montreal?
I did. Yeah, it was really cool. It's much more French than I realized. Like, I knew that Quebec was bilingual, and
yeah,
based on, I don't know, visiting Ireland before, or the rest of Canada even, just, I figured that, like, all public signs and things would be in two languages, and maybe I figured that Montreal might be a more English-speaking area, but actually, most signage is in French only, or that's the impression
yeah.
I got. And most people say, like, bienvenue, or like, bonjour, bonsoir,
mm-hmm.
when they see you.
Oh,
and then if
so
you say,
cool.
like, hello, they're like, oh, hello. Yeah, so like, almost everybody knows English, but like, it's rarely the first thing they greet you with, which is interesting.
Yeah. And they sound French too, right? They have a French accent.
Well, to me, they sounded super French, yeah. And that was the other thing. Like, they sound, you know, to my, like, obviously unskilled ears, they sound very French and sophisticated. Très sophistique. I'm probably saying that wrong. but then when they switch to English, it's amazing. It's like a 180 degrees different, almost. And, like, by comparison, they sound sort of like, I don't know, like, maybe dull, or, like, they go
maybe
from
what?
Sounding very, like, a little dull, or, like simple, backwards, I don't know, like,
huh.
they go from sounding, like, I mean, obviously, this is my limited Heartland America perspective,
yeah.
but, like, what I imagine to be a very sophisticated accent, directly to what I imagine to be a very, like, plain, ordinary accent.
That's so interesting.
And the switch is so instant. Yeah, like, I don't know what I would expect. Maybe, like, more like a London accent, or more a French accent saying English words. It's
yeah.
really, like,
yeah.
it sounds like a French person, and then it sounds like, I don't know, somebody from the Midwest.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I met a guy at Madonna House who I think was from Quebec, and when he spoke English, he sounded French, though. But,
yeah.
Maybe he was from France. I thought he was from Quebec, though. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. Yeah, that wasn't... I mean, I think probably that happened once or twice, but the main feeling I got was, like, I don't know, people sounded very... I don't know. There was the odd person that sounded like what I think of as very Canadian, and I thought that maybe those people would have come from, like, I don't know, maybe Western Canada or something. And then there was even, like, the odd person who seemed to not speak English, and they just spoke French. Like, primarily just spoke French. So,
yeah,
that was one of the biggest surprises, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was really neat. How was your weekend? How's Will doing?
Oh, pretty well. Do you want to talk to him too, or?
Sure.
Okay. I'll get him for you.
But I mean, this not necessarily first, but whatever.
You want? Oh, okay. Well, that's a good weekend. We let's see. Kel.
Are you there?
Hi.
Oh no. Leah seems to have cut out.
Uh-oh.
Is that? Oh wait, no, you're back. Hey, okay. Whew. Are you there?
Funny how this is cut out.
Yeah. Okay. In and out, but yeah.
Okay. I'll try to scoot back to the original spot that I was in. Yeah, Kelsey got back late Sunday night. Will and I can't really remember what we did on the Saturday, Sunday. We went to church, and that was good. We went to the Vineyard Bowling Green Church, so William got to play ping pong at the end, and I don't know. That's fun. Anyway, and then when Kelsey came back, the next day we saw this dog. I found her on Pet Finder, and she is like 4 hours away. And she sounded a lot like Maxie in a lot of ways, so I thought, you know, maybe this is the right dog, and like I had put in an application pretty much just because I like wanted more information about her. And I got to talk to her foster mom, who's fostered her for like 2 years, which is
You're cutting out for a second.
Oh. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah, you're back. So sorry.
Visited her.
Mm-hmm.
She's like 4 hours away, and I don't know. I just did not have a great feeling about everything, and like I don't know. Maybe I just like sight hounds so much, but she was more William said a lab, but no, she was more a coon hound, I think. But her hair was kind of medium length, and her foster mom said that she thought she had greyhound in her. I don't know. I wasn't really into greyhound.
Maybe she looked up your Facebook profile.
There was something about her that, like, she just did not want to make eye contact. And she, like, you'd say her name, and she barely, like, even looked at you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just sort of like, you know,
that's,
like maybe I shouldn't expect to connect to a dog like right away, but I don't know. I just wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with Maxie wasn't like super herself. You know, I got to know her over several months, but or at least a month and a half, you know, before I decided to adopt her. But
she was a little bit timid as well.
She was, but she'd at least make eye contact. And, like, the first time I saw her, dogs don't like to make eye contact. Yeah, William just said dogs don't like to make eye contact. But I think a lot of well-socialized dogs do like to make eye contact.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I think it was just hard. Like, she was definitely, like, in a dog world. And it's kind of strange because, you know, this lady who's fostered her seems like a good dog person, but it's just, I don't know. Anyway, so I just don't think she was the right dog for me. So
I get that. It's a bit like getting married to get a dog, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a big commitment.
A long commitment,
Yeah. It's a bit of Kelsey was comparing it to like online dating when you find a dog online because. William showing me.
You don't really know.
Like to make eye contact.
When you're just emailing back and forth with a dog, it's really hard to get a sense of their true personality. They might be posting.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, the one flattering selfie, you know.
Um.
So Sorry. I could keep joking, but what did William?
Oh, William said he just Googled, do dogs like to make eye contact? And it says, dogs that are timid, fearful, dominant, friendly, or aggressive view eye contact in the same way and react to the eyes like we do. To a dog, a stare from another dog, an animal or human, is rude and can mean a challenge. So I think what it's saying is that, like, eye contact can be seen in different ways, but staring is not generally a good thing, which makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
I think Max would, you know, make eye contact.
William can Google things now?
Yeah.
That was a rude thing of me to say, but
it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Shall we give, like, the one potential listener a bit of context, just in case?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
About William?
Well, yeah. So if this is actually a podcast that is posted and anybody ever finds it, I'm Stephen, and I'm calling my sister Leah. I'm in New York. She's in Kentucky. We're both from South Dakota. Our 12-year-old brother, William, also from South Dakota, is currently visiting Leah for a month, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Leah is a tiny home builder and web design developer right now for her company with our other sister, Grace. I'm having a massive brain fart, which I feel horrible about. Tiny and Snail. It's Tiny and Snail, the company. Fun fact about me, I forget people's names to a horrid degree. Like, I'll work with somebody for, like, a month and just totally blank out on their name.
Fun fact about me, I totally forget people's faces.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, we have matching disabilities, I guess. Yeah. I think I genuinely care about other people, but I just get really, I don't know, confused in like side thought processes, and something about names can be tricky. Anyway, okay, so William's there, since I'm 25 and Lee's a couple of years older, our brother is much younger than us. Same parents and everything, but yeah, we were all, like, out of the house by the time he was, like, very old. So I was to college by the time he was 5 or 6. And so in my head, in a way, he'll always be 5 or 6, even though we see one another, like, twice a year. So my 5-year-old brother Googling things to support arguments is just a big moment.
Yeah,
my sisters are very charitable
out
there.
But...
yeah, laughter to me. But you had a similar
feeling.
Say
that again?
My sisters are very charitable about their laughter to my jokes, so.
Oh, no way. It's not charity.
So with that context, okay, dogs don't like to be stared at. So you're still on the hunt, or on the look.
Yeah, hunt is a good word for looking for a dog, I think. I don't know. Oh, so Kelsey, my boyfriend for this one podcast listener.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that trying to find a dog online is a bit like online dating, and it's probably just better to, like, you know, keep going down to the local bar to see what new dog show up there and see if, you know, any sparks fly.
It sounds like you might get in trouble if you just take a dog that's tied up outside the local bar, but maybe that's just
sure.
in Brooklyn.
Well, in this metaphor, the bar is the Humane Society, and
that makes more sense.
Yeah. So,
have you put on a Darth Vader mask or moved to a lower spot of reception?
No, I'm in the same spot.
Dang.
Do I sound terrible?
Well, I'm not sure. It could be my headphones or the cell connection.
It's probably
whatever.
Mine.
Oh,
can
yeah.
you hear me better now?
No, it's the same, but whatever. I can still hear you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Bar is a Humane Society. Kentucky
yeah.
liquor laws are rather permissive, so that's fun that they allow you to consume alcohol at the Humane Society. I bet that gets a lot more volunteers.
Sorry, Kelsey's talking about swapping something in the kitchen. The refrigerator, I think he wants to move. Anyway,
oh, okay. Does he need your help?
I was a little distracted. No, I was just distracted. But anyway, yeah, so, I don't know. I did meet when Kelsey and I went down there the first time to the Humane Society, I saw a dog
mm-hmm.
who was like a pointer, which is kind of a cream and white colored pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Really sweet, beautiful dog. And I really wish that I had, like, taken her out and walked her a bit. I didn't. And then the next time I was there, I asked about her. And they said they sent her up to Chicago because hounds like her tend to get adopted out sooner up there. I didn't realize it, but I think it's sort of like, you know, the prison system where they ship these dogs to different places. It's kind of crazy.
Wow. The Humane Society?
Yeah.
Interesting. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
I feel like in New York, it would probably be harder to get a really large dog adopted.
Yeah, you'd think so. I don't know why Chicago would be any better off adopting out a dog or a hound dog, but I don't know. Anyway, so it's so funny because, like, I keep looking for this dog who was in, who apparently went to Chicago. I keep looking for her on Petfinder, but she's not showing up. And anyway.
Missed connection.
It's funny, yeah.
Craigslist.
Yeah, missed connection. Yeah, I should post it to Craigslist. But yeah, I don't know. I'm, in a way, maybe I'm just not ready to get another dog after Maxie, you know.
Yeah.
Again, the
hard
metaphors
to compare.
Continue.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Gosh. Yeah, he'll find a dog when the time is right. There are plenty of dogs in the sea.
Yeah, yeah. No,
the sea is
I don't know. Well, part
society.
Of it is that, you know, Kelsey, it's a bit hard to admit, but, like, you know, even as Maxie was dying, like, I was sort of looking at dogs on Petfinder and stuff, and
yeah.
I think it was partly just, like, a coping mechanism, maybe, but, you know, part of it is, like, you know, there are a lot of dogs out there who need a good home. And so I think for me, it's partly like, you know, not entirely selfish of me to want to have a dog,
yeah.
but I think it's also like, you know, cool that I can provide a home for a dog that needs one. And I think that's partly with Shelby, what happened is that, you know, her living situation was okay, you know, she wasn't like you know, on death row or anything, and she, yeah, she had a pretty good situation, so I think that's part of the reason why I wasn't, like, felt pressure to adopt her, which was good, but, yeah, and, like, the other thing about Shelby is that she would run a lot, she, like, her foster mom said she, like, would run around the neighborhood, and, like, that was fine where they were living, but, you know, if I move to Spearfish or something, I don't know, that might be really hard.
Problematic.
So, yeah, in some ways I want a dog that's, like, a really good apartment type of dog, because I think that would be easier, but...
Oh, wait, you are... I forget, have you applied to BH, or...
I sent in my application. I should probably ask the professor I was in touch with what to do next. But sorry, I did not send in my application. I sent in my transcript,
which
was
okay.
The first step. So
okay,
yeah.
Well, cool.
But
how?
Yeah, the direction.
Would you do it if they accepted you? Or do you know yet?
If what? If they accepted me?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of imagine they would because, like, you had an incredible GPA and went to a really good college, but...
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know. You've got experience and stuff to a degree, too, so... So, basically, the question is... Barring disaster, they accept you. Will you go, or do you not?
I don't know. I mean, when I first reached out to them about it, I don't know. I felt sort of like, I think this is a good direction to move in, and I think it's funny because I think every 8 months maybe. I have this realization that I think I should be a teacher. I'm like, yeah, like, that's probably what I should be doing. I think it would suit me very well. And I think I've basically been having that revelation since high school, like, every 8 months to a year. And it's so funny that I just, like, haven't, you know, taken actual steps to make that a reality. Yeah, William says, Leah, that's only like 10 times you've had that revelation.
That's a good perspective.
Yeah. But, you know.
Will, do you wake up every day and have any realizations?
William, do you wake up every day and have any realizations? That are recurring, Will? Any realizations that are recurring?
Every week or something.
Every week.
What do you realize every week?
Every month. What do you realize every week, Will? Different things. Huh.
All right. Probably shouldn't press.
Probably that he should have an iPhone. That's a weekly revelation, I think.
Well, fair. I can remember the feeling quite well.
Anyway, I don't know. There's so many things that I'm interested in, but I think teaching might be a decent thing to have under my belt, at least, like, the possibility of being a teacher. Because I feel like with an art degree... I sort of can do anything, but at the same time, like, I feel like I'm not specifically trained to do anything, and I don't know. I honestly don't feel like I have enough self-motivation to be a studio artist, which is partly why Tiny and Snail is so good, you know, but,
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't be a studio artist either. Well, I don't know about ever, but so far, I feel like it's really helpful to have a prompt and new problems to solve. And I don't know. I really like design and that it's often pretty obvious what the next step is to take on something. Or, like, there's usually a route to find it out, whereas I don't know if that's the case in studio art.
Yeah. Yeah, studio art's a lot more amorphous, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Yeah. I think with, you know, you doing graphic design, you sort of had, like, an industry to enter.
Mm-hmm.
And going, like, doing painting, I don't know, there are applications, you know, like, I've done, you know, I worked with James Benais, and I've made props in New York City. But I feel like a lot of those are, like, sort of temporary jobs or something.
And yeah.
Not so much a career.
Persistent.
Yeah. So it's funny, like, I think I, in some ways, I'm, like, so excited about so many different things that I don't really want a career, but at the same time, I think, like, it'd probably be really good for me to have, like, some stability.
Yeah. I had a teacher senior year of high school. Yeah.
Oh, even no, go on.
Okay. I had a teacher senior year of high school, and she was at the public school, Central High. And she, before teaching, had, like, a bunch of different jobs. She was, like, a police officer at National Forests or something. And I don't know. She had, like, three other jobs that were all quite different. But then she found teaching, and it was maybe her sixth year or something, fifth year. I don't know. She seemed to like it. I wonder if she's still doing it. I kind of imagine she is, but I don't know. I'm sure I could find it out.
I think the cool thing about, like, teaching art specifically, and I don't know, I think I could teach other things, but, you know, art would definitely be the most exciting thing for me, I think. But I think the thing about teaching art is that you could really, like, you know, you could explore things that you're interested in, and, like, it would be, there would be enough variety. You know, you could do, like, a unit on photography, or you could do a unit on web design, or you could do a unit on, like, botanical drawings or something. Like, I think it would always be interesting. Or there would be a lot of variety.
Right. I wonder how much flexibility art teachers have, like, year to year and subject matter wise. Like, I wonder in reality, a lot of them maybe end up kind of having to do, like, I don't know, a section on printmaking and a section on painting and a section on this, that, and the other. Like, you'd think that there's core competencies that you'd really kind of need to hit, like drawing from observation or something.
Maybe. But I guess that would be really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of variety anyway. I know Mrs. Reinecke did a particularly good job at mixing it up a lot. And I was really surprised, actually, to see when I was a judge for the Best of the West show at the Doll. We went around and looked at various high school, you know, work. So many of the teachers, like, or the work that was coming out of these classes was so similar and so bad. And, like, it was a lot of it's like drawing on crappy paper, and, like, it was so weird to see. I was like, wow, Mrs. Ronicky's art classes are like leaps and bounds ahead of what they're doing in these other schools.
Yeah, that's cool to have that. Yeah, high schoolers are the worst. Can't draw worth crap. Somebody should really give them an education. Yeah.
Most of it was just, you know, so similar to each other.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't seem like they were doing like a painting unit and a drawing unit and a sculpting unit and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Unlike in Mrs. Ronicky's class, I feel like we covered everything.
I think if I was an art teacher, I would have 9 months of emo drawing on crappy paper.
Yeah, at least for freshman and sophomore year.
Yeah, guys, we're going to really change it up this time. We're using loose leaf paper, college ruled, blue ballpoint pen. Go. Draw your feelings. Good luck. I'm going to sit back and...
Draw your feelings or anime characters. That's acceptable.
Yeah, draw your feelings with large eyes. One sec. I'm getting asked the question. Sorry. So, did any of the judges question you when you started giving all the votes to your alma mater?
Honestly, no, because it was almost like they were priming me for it. They were like, okay, now Mrs. Reineke is definitely going to have the best stuff, but we can only pick so many from her class, all right?
Yeah. Well, it might, I guess it might be that, like...
Like, we had a quota from each school that we needed to, like, pick a certain number from each school.
So, I mean, it must be partly about the, like, economic situation that those students are able to be in for the most part, right? Like, do you think that those students maybe afford better materials and more cultural experience by the time they're freshmen and sophomores and everything? Like, or do you think it's all down to the teacher, or do you think it's some circumstance of being in a private school?
I don't know.
It's not like...
I don't know if...
not like a New York City private school.
I don't know if
Mr.
Grinsky has more resources for materials than...
Well, no, I'm saying individual students. Like, since most families have to pay to go to St. Thomas More,
yeah,
I bet that more of those families get to, like, travel to art museums and stuff. And I don't know.
Possibly. I really feel like it was a lot down to Mrs. Reineke, though.
Yeah, she just... picked more
and the assignments
and
that she did.
Yeah. Well, and then the other question I have is, like, more interesting prompts.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I guess the other question I have is that because with fewer students and potentially fewer other stakeholders, like other teachers or administration people or city officials or whatever, do you think she has to answer to fewer people and has more latitude to choose a lot of different projects and maybe potentially even more time to dedicate per student?
Yeah, maybe. It's really hard to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm not questioning that. I think, you know, I gained a lot from having her as a teacher as well, and I think she really puts a lot of heart into it. But yeah, I just wonder. I guess working in a big company, I end up seeing, like, how there's, like, some sort of massive people that can maybe give a lot more reasons to, I don't know, or just more constraints to work within, to the point where sometimes you make things that aren't as daring or something because you have more constraints that you have to meet. I don't know. Or, like, it takes longer to do something if you have an extra 10 or 20% of people to service or an extra 200% of people. I don't know.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I guess the only real way to know would be to be a teacher in a private school and then be a teacher in a public school and see how that is, I guess. I think ideally I probably would want to, you know, be a teacher in a charter school or something. And I am really interested in doing, like, home ec, which is probably way more of a charter school thing than, you know, a public school or private school. Although I think they do have some home ec classes in public schools.
I think so. I feel like I remember seeing that as an option. So, as a refresher, home ec, like, what does that entail?
Well, in my mind, I never took a home ec class, but I think it would entail, you know, some basic, like, cooking, like, sewing, balancing a budget, cleaning, gardening, maybe. I think a lot of, like,
maybe.
You know, maybe what?
Maybe like an international trade deficit versus a federal budget deficit.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, no, I would want to cover taxes. you know, I think there's a lot of things that, like, I did not learn in high school that are so important as an adult.
Yeah.
Like,
so you would actually try to cover some of those things in addition to, like, cooking and sewing. Not that those things, like, those things are so important, like, when you're on your own. Well, particularly cooking, I guess. But,
yeah.
I mean, definitely. I think a lot of people can
help. But I think, like, knowing how to look at your taxes is really important, too.
Right.
Or, like, putting together a budget or what else? Getting a deer or super
that might have to be an optional unit.
Yeah, it might. But hey kids, I found this deer on the side of the road. so we're just gonna go out back and I'm gonna show you how to skin it and dress a deer.
Everyone brought their large knives today. Good.
Everybody, we'll watch this YouTube video and we're going to figure it out. Yeah, maybe a little, like, plumbing or electrical work in there.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Building.
Everybody would literally leave your class with a home.
With a home? Yeah, this is not home ec. This is building a home.
You might have thought you were signing up for an easy course, but we're going and getting 2x4s today. Hope you're ready to carry some lumber.
Yeah. anyway, yeah, so I don't know. That would sort of be a really cool thing, I think. Be meaningful.
That would be sweet. That'd be really cool. Yeah.
But I suppose another outlet other than, like, school would be, you know, camps and stuff in the summer where I can teach things like that. But anyway.
I wonder how much latitude, like, literature or writing teachers have to course materials and topics and stuff. Because, like, I bet there's not as much as an art class necessarily, but I don't know. It seems like some of the things you're looking for could potentially be, like, also achieved through the right, like, literature course or something, but I don't know if that's really actually a possibility to have.
How are you imagining that?
Well, you're saying that, like, you know, as an art teacher, you might be able to kind of explore and learn things personally and pass those learnings on to the class. But potentially you could, you know, theoretically do that as a literature teacher. You could say, like, today we're going to read about photography and then we're all going to write our own, like, tutorial, you know, or like,
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Or we're going to learn about suffrage in the 1920s and then we're going to write an essay about, like, I don't know, the state of women's rights today. Like, I don't know. I feel like you could do really interesting things as a lit teacher, but I don't know.
Yeah, I that's another thing I would be interested
the reality
in is writing.
Yeah. Even for a time, writing is, I don't know, writing is certainly an art. I mean, everything's kind of an art if you put it in the context of art, but I think it's not a stretch that writing is engaging some of the same muscles.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also, like, I think there's a super practical side of writing that could be addressed, too, which, you know, I don't know, maybe in, I don't know if you'd have that flexibility, but, you know, like, oh, we're going to write a blog post where you're going to review a product or... we're going to write a welcome email to your pretend company. Or we're going to write ad copy. I don't know.
We're all going to write an email to the principal.
We're going to write a product description. You're going to write an Instagram post.
I'm imagining like a news a news scandal where, like, Maryland teacher Leah Nixon has been secretly forcing students to run her company. Are teachers earning too much? This one sure is.
But yeah, anyway, I think it's super important. or like customer service email or thing. You know. But
yeah. No, that stuff, I don't know. I think that it's easy for writing to be sort of abstract when you're writing like some essay about Huckleberry Finn. And I don't know, the harder thing and the more important thing is figuring out how to write an email that's like not super verbose and is easy for somebody else to read.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. It's so interesting how, like, you know, up until like the end of college, you're basically, In any of your writing classes, you're like forced to write as many words as possible. And then, you know, all of a sudden after school, it's like, how do you communicate this in a, like, tone is so important and, like, brevity. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that's great. Right. There's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
For that possibility.
Yeah.
How much longer is Will around?
He leaves on the 15th.
Okay. That's great. Still have quite a bit more time there. And then I got to meet Hafiza today. She was in Brooklyn.
Was that today?
Yeah, this morning.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was really neat to see her. And she told me that she's, like, got all these things lined up for when Will's in Seattle.
That's awesome.
Like, rock climbing.
Maybe I should have been better about lining
kayaking
things up, but...
I don't know. I feel like you're in the woods already, so things are kind of lined up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. He's been pretty much glued to his iPad, but...
I see, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was really surprised, like, when Fuzu was talking about that, because I'm like, wow, like, I've wanted to have him in New York, but I've always thought, like, like, what would I do, like, if I was at work for 11 hours a day, and he was like, what is he going to do? I don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd try to take vacation if he was here, but that can be hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool that she's able to take vacation.
Yeah. Right, and that she's willing to do it for this specific event. That's really neat.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we'll have a good time there.
I'm sure you will, yeah. Well, gosh. How can... Just to wrap up our podcast episode here, how can people find you online?
Oh,
how can people give you money?
Definitely on Instagram. Well, they can't give me money on Instagram, but they can find me on Instagram at tinyhome_maker, and I'm pretty active on there. And then they can give me money. Oh, on Instagram, I post about my tiny house life and all the crazy building projects and complain about the chickens eating the vegetables and post the occasional very yummy thing that I make. And then they can give me money at tinyandsnail.com, but not quite yet.
Okay.
But they could sign up for the newsletter right now.
Under construction. Oh.
Yeah.
Worth doing. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. That way they can be sure to get all the newsletter updates from the future writing students of South Dakota.
Yes.
Or Kentucky,
yes.
Maybe. I don't know. All right.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about the Tiny Snail website coming along, and Grace almost has the business side done, so.
Done. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway,
and
that's pretty exciting.
And here, Apple's still working on their business. Bunch of chumps.
Well, you know, they at least have their doing business as. I think figured out.
They've got the foundations laid down, legal stuff.
Yes, they probably have their spreadsheets figured out.
Gotcha.
yeah.
Okay, well, that's great, though, that she's working on that and you're doing the website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well.
Cool. Well, I love you, and...
I love you, too.
Thanks for trying this out. I will send you a link if this actually posts somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love you, Steven.
Give it a shot.
Thanks.
Have a good
bye-bye.
Evening. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Okay. Bye-bye.